Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Amanda. This is the Nuance Needed podcast.
Hi, I'm Sam. We're so glad that you joined us on this lovely Wednesday.
What are we talking about today, Sam?
This is something that we've been texting about and messaging about for, what would you say, like a week? When did it happen?
It happened. We're going to talk about Chapel Roan to not bury the lead. but you probably know that since the title of the podcast probably is going to say that. Yeah. But the current backlash, I mean, we're recording this on October 5th. Mm-hmm. So the current backlash, I think, happened about a week ago. It's a little messy.
Yeah, with the hurricane. Week and a half ago, I think, maybe even.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also, you know, if you've been following Chapel Roan and everything that's gone on, I mean, there was an incident that happened at the VMAs where she kind of, I mean, a photographer yelled at her like aggressively. Mm-hmm. So she yelled back. And I think she, you know, kind of set some of those boundaries with fans in August, I believe. So it's been a moment.
Yeah, there were some fans that were very unfairly taking things very, very far and starting to stalk her, stalk her family. And so she like had a call out to everybody, which I really respected. Mm-hmm. But then the incident that really like sparked us to be more kind of processing and sorting through this was it the second or the third time when she canceled the festival performance?
So I know that she canceled two shows abroad.
Yes.
And then people found out it was kind of for the VMAs.
Yep.
And then I think it was New York and DC. She canceled two shows like the day before with everything that happened.
Yeah. And so she posted to like basically from her notes app to her Instagram stories and said, so sorry, there's too much going on. I need to prioritize my mental health. I can't do the shows. See you soon. Bye.
Yeah.
The concern when she canceled the festival dates was that she was not going to do SNL, but right now she's still planning on doing it. So.
And she did perform last night, I think, in the night before.
Yes. Yes. So long story short, when she canceled the festival performances about a week and a half ago, it created this massive back and forth backlash on social media. And the reactions and the responses are more what Amanda and I were paying attention to, especially because she very specifically in the statement said, this is for my mental health.
Yeah.
And that was like, ooh, it's complicated. It's very, very complicated. So we've decided we're going to do a segment in the beginning where, based on the issue that we're talking about, we're going to kind of explain, give the background, which I just did. And then we're going to kind of explain the more black and white approaches and viewpoints that are in it. And then we're going to dive into the nuance.
And we'll talk all about the gray. And we'll sort of meander through. We don't have a hot take as normal. Like, we don't have hot takes here.
No.
We have a lot of nuance.
A lot of nuance,
takes,
yeah.
And we will meander through different thoughts we've sort of had on this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think to orient ourselves, right, like the first backlash against it, like the one extreme when she canceled shows was like, you know, from fans and from even I think some media outlets was kind of like, screw you.
Yes.
This is so unprofessional. I paid lots of money. I traveled. I did all of this stuff, especially because there was very little notice.
Yes.
I do think the context does matter that it was a festival.
Yes.
So there were other artists performing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a solo concert. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of one take. And then I think what we were kind of talking about and realizing that's so frustrating on social media is – it's not just two different people or two different sides have two different takes. It is like something happens, one side has a take, and then the other side reacts to that take, which tends to make it more extreme than someone just being like, no, I saw what happened and I disagree.
Right.
They're like, screw the person who had this take.
Yeah.
And that's like the other side that we saw is, right, the other side is kind of like, how dare you be upset at all? Mm-hmm. You are a capitalistic, you
monster.
Know, part of the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Forcing this woman to perform. Don't you remember what happens to pop stars? How dare you?
Yeah, she doesn't owe you anything. Yeah.
And Sam and I don't agree with either of those takes. And they annoyed us, especially, you know, I think as therapists, we're very clear that you are allowed to have a reaction, mm-hmm. right? Like the whole thing, I think you could sum up a lot of our beliefs are like your feelings are valid. Your actions as a result of your feelings are not always valid.
Correct.
And I don't love that people were getting mad at people mm-hmm. who got ticket. I mean, I think you're mm-hmm. allowed to be frustrated and angry. It doesn't mean even necessarily – I mean, I think like maybe some of the nuance also is like don't be mad at chapel maybe.
Right.
Like you can be mad at the situation.
Right.
You can be frustrated that social media has become this place mm-hmm. that like negatively impacts artists so mm-hmm. much. Right. Or you can be really frustrated. I mean, I think it is – both of us have talked about it is an insanely unique situation that she's in to have this meteoric rise mm-hmm. and not have the experience mm-hmm. to maybe foresee that she will mm-hmm. have backlash. Maybe she doesn't have the team around her mm-hmm. or maybe it is so important to her to be authentic. She doesn't like want – to be more calculated, for lack of a better word,
right.
which I think is right. Like that's sort of the critique of the Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. the people who do have huge teams that they use
right.
behind them.
Machines, if you will.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah, it's just so fascinating.
Yeah. And going along with that too, and I think if you're listening to this and you're like, what am I listening to? The other like background tidbit is mm-hmm. Chapel Roan, if you Google her, if you look her up on Spotify, if you look her up on Instagram, she has essentially exploded over the last 6 to 7 months. She had the song, the single Good Luck Babe, released earlier in the year. And that ended up causing traction to the album that she released last year.
Yeah.
And so she is responsible for H-O-T-T. Oh, yeah. Like, that's who we're talking about.
It's going to be, it's going to be our, like, generation's one.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's a dance that goes with it. We're not going to do it. Google it. But, yeah, so that is the other caveat to this situation. Mm-hmm. In addition to, she has been incredibly vocal about the angst and frustration and irritation that she has with fame. Mm-hmm. And it's created this very interesting dynamic with her fan base. Mm-hmm. And so much of it is revolved around mental health because she talks mm-hmm. about her mental health quite a bit. And so, yeah, kind of with that in mind now, that additional layer to the story, that is why when we were seeing these very like polar opposite responses, it was either you were 100% for what she did mm-hmm. or 100% against what she did. And then the comment section, as per usual, were war zones of people being like, you're and you know, we even saw some other therapists mm-hmm. on social media kind of engaging with the more black and white approaches. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating because both things can be true, just like you were just saying. It can be true that Chapel is really struggling and that this overnight explosion of insane fame is very overwhelming to her. She wasn't anticipating it. She wasn't expecting it. I think she thought she was going to be a very niche artist mm-hmm. That was more festival oriented. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's almost like stadium headliner vibes.
Yeah.
The level of popularity.
Yeah, I mean, there were 80,000 people at Lollapalooza.
Yes. They, like every show she's been to, she's like smashed records this summer for festival season.
Yeah. So now, right, like she's filling these huge stadiums. It's headliner. And I think it is a big challenge to navigate as an artist, even her team.
For sure.
And they've been struggling to navigate. How do we – I mean, some of these places she had booked for were like 500 people capacities.
Yeah. They don't even have the overflow capacity to accommodate.
Yeah.
So, I think – I completely see her point of view of how that could be totally overwhelming. And if you are not used to receiving feedback from millions of people at all times, that is incredibly jarring. And we as humans are not developed enough to like process that.
Yes.
And when you are a professional, and especially you are completely dependent upon a fan base and people giving you money to watch you perform, there is an element of at what point do I push through a little bit for the sake of my fans and honor these commitments that I've made while also on the back end trying to figure out how to rearrange my schedule to make it more manageable. Like, I think to call somebody like a capitalist pig because they were upset that they paid money for a concert, probably wouldn't have gone to the festival if she hadn't been there.
Yeah.
Paid for a flight, paid for a hotel. Like, there were people who were at the airport at their gate when they saw her Instagram story that it had been canceled. Yeah. So I think that frustration is also valid. And I think we've lost sight of, I can feel disappointed. And also, somebody can be disappointed in me. Somebody being disappointed in me because I did something that hurt them or caused them harm does not mean that person has now become a toxic person.
Yeah, I think that's so good, Sam. And I wonder, too, if there is an element for her of, right, like my OG, like, because I've read a couple articles. I read, like, especially, I think we talked about this one. There was one she did in, like, Paper Magazine, Bowen Yang interviewed her. And she had kind of said, like, now everyone's coming out of the woodworks to talk to me and treating me like I have, like, you know, I'm something where I haven't changed, you know, and she seemed like very irritated by it. And on one level, I get that. I get like she's been working behind the scenes and only now that she's, you know, charting are people paying attention to her. But I can also say as someone who is a very new fan, I had no idea who she was. And I don't, that wasn't because like I listened to her music and was like, this sucks. And then I heard it or then I heard it now and was like, oh, now that people like, you know, I think you also have to, you know, give some credit to discoverability is a real thing as well. And I'm sure it was hard where she's been dropped by her label. But the reason I'm bringing that up is I wonder if there's some like tension too for her between who she probably feels like are her real fans, who she's who have been there for her for forever. And like maybe some of these people who are probably who she would feel we are.
Well, like bandwagoners.
Yes. And I wonder if that impacts how she talks to people and stuff like that. Because sometimes it is – I think people were so caught off guard by her original like post a couple months ago about like, you know, I don't owe anything to you. I don't care if you think you know me. Like I don't know you as a random person on the street. Like, you know – I, just because I'm famous doesn't mean I know who you are. And I think that, I mean, like you had said, like there were real threats, like being, you know, someone stalking you is like not safe. It's not cool. But I think there's a perception as a fan that you feel kind of like, oh, I, you know, like you're mad at me.
Right.
Kind of. And I wonder if there could be, you know, we've also talked about from a PR angle, if there could be things she could be responsible for. With how she's engaging with this. And maybe she doesn't want to because she doesn't care. But I think the nuance I'm seeing is that I think that you can do whatever you want. Like, we cancel, do whatever you want, babe. Like, we really want you to take care of your mental health. And you are right. Like, you don't owe us anything.
Correct.
And I think there's a level also of – if you do that, I think you have to be responsible for the impact that that's going to have on people. And I think you can't I would love to live in a world that didn't have this like toxic fame social media culture, but I think it's unrealistic. And it's something I think you and I have had to deal with as people who are I don't know, public facing, I
guess you could have, say, have whatever very, you very say small corners of the world where people know us.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think from a from a therapist perspective, giving up trying to, like, there is a line between advocating for what you want and mm-hmm. also like being realistic. Doesn't mean you accept it, mm-hmm. but not, you know, trying to change something so much that you're hurting mm-hmm. yourself in the process. I don't know if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Maybe you can clarify what I just said.
Well, I think what I'm hearing, the big theme, kind of like umbrella covering statement that was going on in my mind, is there's natural consequences to your decisions,
mm-hmm.
good and bad.
Yeah.
If you even want to classify it that way. But when you make a decision, there is going to be an inevitable ripple effect to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the other thing that happened that was also really controversial to a lot of people was she came out and essentially said she was not endorsing either candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Both were bad. She did not like either of them. End of story.
Right. She did come out and say that she was voting for Kamala Harris
mm-hmm.
and like did say like, look at downvote, you know, look at candidates down the ballot and all of that stuff.
But again, the other, really the more controversial element was she followed up that post with kind of yelling at everybody mm-hmm. for having thoughts about what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the conversation that you and I were having outside of this about that in particular was we both said, like, one, it sucks the level of fame culture that exists. Like, mm-hmm. there is absolutely a real element of fame culture that exists. If you look all the way back to Britney Spears, if you look at what's happened to Christina Aguilera. I mean,
Marilyn Monroe. Like, you can all go all the way back.
Like, it's not fun for women to be famous. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. It's hard. It's unfair.
Men too, but it disproportionately affects women.
100%.
And more marginalized people, right? And she is, you know, in the queer community.
There's a part of it where it's not, I get her frustration.
Yeah.
And I can hear it and I validate it. And I can't fathom being in that position where overnight the entire globe knew who I was.
Yep.
And all of this back and forth, it's horrible. It's exhausting. It's draining. You don't know what to do. You don't feel safe. You feel completely out of control. So I validate all that. But going back to what you said as well, pointing the anger and the vitriol at your fans.
Mm-hmm. Rather than maybe complex.
Yes.
A fame.
Rather than society. Yeah. More identifying like the systemic issue.
Yeah.
Is where I think a lot of the dissonance is occurring. And people love being offended
mm-hmm.
and they love having the opportunity to feel justified in their feeling offended.
Yes. And being right.
And being right and feeling that they are all right and that the other person is all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really like you're seeing this push and pull between, again, like we said earlier, like both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't want to have to sit in that complexity of saying like, oh, I'm feeling really frustrated that this didn't work, but I'm just going to, you know, hopefully get a refund and move on.
Yeah. Or you can make the choice to be like, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to support her anymore. Right. I don't want to stream her music, or I will never go to a show because I can't have this happen to me. Right. And you have that right to do that.
Right. And on her end, take care of yourself all that you need. Like you don't owe us another album. You don't owe us another round of touring. You don't have to do this. This is as much a choice for her as it is for us. But you cannot hop on your socials and yell at everybody and make everybody feel dumb for reacting to you when you knew you were saying something that was deeply controversial.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if because she is so extremely online, maybe. Yes.
Chronically online.
I wonder if she thought that there wouldn't be bad. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, part of me thinks that, you know how, like, in these circles that you can go down these, like, rabbit holes, you sometimes forget what the average person thinks about someone.
Right. That the online world is not the real world.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's two different spaces.
So I don't know. I think also when you're activated and you're like upset about something, right? Mm-hmm. I think, right, she like said, I woke up to all of this. And so I'm responding. Like, I think it's been this sort of hard thing to watch where she's just like in her emotions reacting, mm-hmm. trying to make it better. And she's like making it worse. And we've seen this like with, you know, really bad celebrity apologies over the years and stuff like
that. Crying on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I think I would love for her team to kind of be like, look, you can post what you want. Yes. And like, if you're going to make if you're going to make this decision to pull out, which we support, like, don't go online.
Yeah, just shut it down.
Yeah.
Don't bother. And I think that goes back to the big question that I have been like yelling at you in all caps every time we have this conversation is like, where is her team?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where is her? I don't understand why it's feeling so messy and chaotic. And on her behalf too. Like, if she's legitimately making all of these decisions on her own, that is massive. I mean, the poor girl, what is she? She's 26?
Yeah.
She's still got 2 years till her frontal lobe's fully cooked. Like,
and
that's not a judgment. That's like literally scientific fact. Like, your brain is not done being developed until you're 28 years old. So,
yeah. I mean, I did a little research on, I read a Guardian article. We can link all the articles we're referencing in the show notes that did talk a little about her team. It was from a few months ago. So they were kind of talking about just how they're trying to take care of her. Mm-hmm. And I think this was as her fame just started to rise and stuff like that. I think it just is disjointed. Like, like the person that we keep comparing her to, I think, is Taylor Swift, because we like know a lot about Taylor Swift and sort of how her machine operates, or like Beyonce, right? Like, they're so big that they've had this team for a long time. They have one person that works for them compared to like a lot of other artists have a PR company that works for them, right? And they're a client of that company. So they're not like treated in the same way. Mm-mm. So yeah, I read this interesting article in Vulture that talked about this, and it had a really great quote that I wanted to read. It said, "She's fallen into an unmanageable level of notoriety, famous enough to have stalkers, not rich enough to hole up in Lake Como."
Oof.
And I just think that sort of sums it up, right? Is like, she is famous enough to be making like headline national news like multiple weeks in a row, but she isn't famous enough that even maybe if she has the resources now, I don't know, like, you know, we don't know, right? Like, she hasn't developed. It's kind of like she got famous so fast, she was like building the plane as it was coming down.
Literally. Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so disjointed, because I don't even think she has enough of a team or enough support to really protect her in that way.
Yeah. Which I think is, it's sad. And I think too, like, also, if you're listening to this, one of the things that we wanted to achieve with this podcast is also showing thoughts and ideas evolving over time.
Yeah.
And to not only be kind of explaining nuance, but modeling nuance. And I think something that I didn't take into account was, she doesn't have, I mean, being at this level, having just exploded, she probably does not have the financial resources to have a Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Lady Gaga level of a machine.
Yeah, she doesn't have a private jet. Which sounds like petty, but like she doesn't. If you're talking about traveling all over the world, like the ability to have a private jet versus traveling on, you know, a bus.
Delta One.
like, has a really big impact.
Yeah.
On your mental health, your ability to sleep, your ability to recharge, like all of that.
Yeah. And so I think as I've seen all this play out, like, I have a lot of compassion for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I were to think of this person as like my client, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I would want is, how do you actually learn from this though?
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of just saying like, well, I'm just going to cancel when it doesn't work, and I'm going to show up when it works. That is not how you build trust with other people.
I think, or even yourself, to be honest. Like, and I don't know what's going on with her.
100%. Yeah.
But what I can say, and I know we've loosely talked about this, is mm-hmm. as someone who was like the flakiest human on the planet when I was mm-hmm. in my active addiction, mm-hmm. It was so crucial for me, and I think it is for a lot of people, to be someone who shows up when they say they will. And it might look like under-promising for a while, but I am a really big believer in one of the most overlooked things in building confidence mm-hmm. is being able to trust yourself.
Yes.
Because then you can talk yourself down. Like, I remember when I was like really in my active addiction, I would say every day I'm not going to drink again. Every yeah. day I'm not yeah. going to like binge and purge, you know, mm-hmm. and the words had no meaning anymore. So I couldn't even like talk myself down because I didn't mm-hmm. even listen to myself. Where now if I have a bad day or I make a mistake and I tell myself like, okay, I like tomorrow's a new day. It will be better tomorrow. I'm going to do this and this tomorrow to help myself. I can actually talk myself down because I believe myself. It's not just platitudes. And I think that is so undervalued if you care about your relationship with yourself and being confident.
Mm-hmm. I truly think a lot of the frustration that people have, like, and I think even in this example, you know, we're talking about chapel, but we're not talking about chapel.
Yeah.
Which I think should be the title of the
app. Yeah.
I think part of like why it feels so easy to be angry at a celebrity or yell at a celebrity or get mad at kind of like the masses that are mad at a celebrity or however you want to phrase mm-hmm. that is because it feels so validating to have an easy villain and kind of this person that you can project like all of your frustrations and your insecurities onto mm-hmm. and kind of do the whole like, you know, for the people that were really upset with her, the whole like, I would never do that.
Yeah.
Like, I would never, ever, ever do that. And it's like, well, no, you don't know that, actually.
Yeah.
You have no idea what you would do if you were in that situation. And I think going back to like building trust in yourself, I think rather than pausing and figuring out the empathy that you are potentially having for this person mm-hmm. and kind of like, why is this situation like making me upset? Like, okay, like for the 50,000 people that legitimately bought tickets and lost out yeah. on money, that is obviously like a very clear reason to be upset.
Yeah.
But I think all of like the periphery of the fandom that came mm-hmm. undone, and also the mm-hmm. people that have not liked her and don't think she's deserving of the level of attention that she's gotten.
Yeah.
It's just become this thing where it's like, we're all just going back and forth and we're all just like projecting like mm-hmm. our own insecurities and frustrations onto each other. And to tie it back into, you know, kind of what you were saying about building trust with yourself, we are seeing like mass reactivity in these situations. Mm-hmm. Just this like, I want to have the perfect comment on the post. I want to have the most slicing feedback. I want to have the most succinct like torpedo of a statement or take that everybody's just like, snaps, right? And it's like, let's all like, if you are tired of feeling reactive in your day-to-day life, if you are tired of feeling like it is hard for you to gain control of the chaos in your own life, stop getting involved in these messes. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to comment on everything. You don't have to be a part of everything that's happening. Like, you don't need a hot take. Chapel is, you know, just as Taylor Swift says, like, what is it? Soliloquies I'll never see. Like, it's, they're not going to see it.
Yeah.
She might.
Yeah, she might.
Like, I don't know. She very well might, but like, you're not going to have, like,
you're not making a difference.
No, nobody is going to leave the comment that makes Chapel go like, oh my God, I need to question my whole life. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I think like at a bigger level, and I don't know, maybe I'm taking it like too macro, but I think the reactivity that is present in the black and white thinking.
Yes.
And the black and white responses is very indicative, I think, of how a lot of people are feeling about their own day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
And like a lack of control and a lack of say, right? And so when the celebrity comes out and is like, I'm taking control in some form, right? Like, yeah. when you cancel yeah. a show, you're taking control yes. of something.
No, I love – I think that's really important, Sam, because I think, you know, I think this is sort of us – we're defending nuance. We're like, why nuance is good for your mental
yeah.
health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think part of it too is that – I mean, we know that studies are showing that people are becoming more polarized. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a huge connection of that mm-hmm. to social media. Mm-hmm. And I think two things. I think one, to your point, we have become – this like walking reaction yes. ready to happen.
Yes.
It's like we're walking around primed, mm-hmm. come at me. I'm ready mm-hmm. to react to mm-hmm. it, which mm-hmm. feels like a change and it's not good for your mental health
no.
for sure. We're just like waiting to be offended and upset, like right. you said.
I feel that so viscerally.
Yeah.
Because I think the level of fight or flight that people mm. feel that they are in on a day-to-day basis is shocking. Like yeah. even talking to some of my clients who are very well-resourced people and mm-hmm. have support systems and have everything that they need, they're drowning, let alone other people who are very openly saying like, I don't have what I need. I don't have a support system. I can't find a job. Right. And so,
yeah.
so I think everybody is kind of feeling like they're just these raw nerves mm-hmm. walking around. Which I also think is still left over from the pandemic.
Totally.
I think there's a lot of very reactive feelings. I think the election cycle in the United States currently is not helping.
Yeah. What's been going on in the Middle East
yeah,
for literally like, a year at this point.
A year. Like we're recording this on the 5th. In 2 days, it's going to be a year, which is just mm-hmm. absolutely devastating and heartbreaking. And no one's willing to find an answer on that one, which is even yeah. more frustrating. So I think when all of a sudden we have this celebrity who does something mm-hmm. that feels super irritating and frustrating,
yeah,
we immediately like just kind of latch onto it. And it finally feels like we have an outlet to kind of like release the valve on some of this stuff that maybe in our day-to-day life, like we feel like we can't.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it's like inconsequential and yes. easy to just blame like yeah. a pop star.
To yell at Chapel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too is I wonder sometimes if people don't realize that being like when you get overtaken, when you get triggered, when you get mm-hmm. overtaken by a reaction, mm-hmm. that is not necessarily how you feel about it.
Yes.
Ooh. And I wish Ooh. We would talk about that more. Ooh. Like I live in Florida and right. Like we just like left for the hurricane and stuff. And now there's projected to be another hurricane, which right. is great. So like my initial reaction is like, oh my God, I need to move. Like this is horrible. I cannot live like this. Like fight flight kicks in. I'm like on Zillow. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what is really great for your mental health that I highly recommend mm. is starting to get clear and familiar with your reaction. So you know when your brain gets hijacked. And I think a lot of us – and like you said, I think we're more dysregulated.
Yeah.
But I think also if you don't know that you're dysregulated, if you can't tell the difference, which some of us can't, I think we just think like, oh, I'm emotional. I feel one way. I feel the other way. This is so weird. Rather than being like, no, this was like a fight, flight, brain chemical hijack reaction as a result of stress, that we could then be better at like taking a breath and pausing and recognizing that your feelings around it might change. But right, like to connect this all together, our attention span is not great. So we are way more impulsive. We are way more reactive. And then once you – it's exactly what sort of happened to Chapel, right? She was potentially, you could say, impulsive in that yes. she said to us, like, I woke up this morning and I had to come on and defend myself.
Yeah.
And we don't have that moment to sit and pause and recognize – is this the best? Like, should I be talking right now?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like, should I be putting something out in the world right now? Should I be arguing with my neighbor or whatever, right? Like, to put this into perspective of real life for listeners, I think that is one thing that I would love people to take away from. It's really – it's a skill that you have yes. to learn, but it is freeing to not feel as though – that is who you are because you have a little bit more control than over your reactions, I think.
these are the conversations that are missing. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know, dear listener, that this is why we want to do this podcast. Because, I mean, like, look where we started.
Yeah.
We're talking about, like, pop culture drama that maybe some of you, like, listening don't even, like, really care about. But if you're still here, thank you. You're the best.
Yeah.
Like, look where we've ended up in now talking about this idea of how you can individually start to manage this reactivity that you might be having. Or, like, if you're in this fight or flight mode, and I think in response to what you said, when you talk about the pause, I love the pause. And I tell my clients about this because the question that I'll give my clients sometimes if we're talking about the pause is, you can even ask yourself, going all the way back to when we talked about natural consequences just a bit ago, am I willing to live with the natural consequences of the reaction I want to have?
Yeah.
Am I willing to live through someone being offended with me, at me, by me? Am I willing to live with someone else's anger? Am I willing to live with a fallout? Am I willing to live with losing something? Am I like, just pause. It's the same thing like when you see, you know, someone like writing one of those very long passive aggressive Facebook messages of like, this was the hardest time of my life and nobody was there for me. Like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, did you ask anybody to be there for you? But yeah, I think this sense of just like pausing and recognizing also not everything deserves a reaction.
Yeah. Or your comment or your energy.
Yes.
Or any of it. And to what you were saying, Sam, about how, right, like, everyone wants to win the internet with their comment being the most hearted and liked or upvoted on Reddit or whatever. That causes us to, like, we are now dopamine incented through, right, like, social media to react, to have a hot take, to be more extreme, because on top of everything, social media then really highlights the hot takes and the extremes because people are more reactive to it.
And anger motivates people.
Yes. Yes. Both ways. Is why a lot of times on social media, it's not even about the thing that happened. Like we were saying, it's not about Chapel Roan canceling the concerts. It's about people's reactions to other people's reactions about her canceling the concerts, which is how we can go so far down the rabbit hole and we're not even talking about what happened.
Right. Because it's what it's kind of like, you know, sometimes my clients will be like, oh, like we were, you know, I was with my partner, I was with my kids, or I was at work, whatever. And this little thing just like set me off. And every single time without fail, when we start to like peel back those layers, it ends up being, it was not about the thing.
Yes.
It was about the larger thing that that thing is sitting under. And so if you find yourself being reactive or angry or really frustrated easily with kind of like these larger things that really have no bearing on your life, I would really encourage you to like pause and just kind of think about what's going on within you. Because also like you deserve to not feel so reactive.
Yes. Like your life will be better.
Yes. Like you deserve to not feel like you're constantly like, fighting something off. Like that is such a horrible headspace to live in. And so if you are feeling that way, if you do feel like everything is just kind of setting you off, take some quiet time. Like really think about it and say like, okay, like, yeah, I was mad. You know, I was mad when this person said this. Okay. Well, what about that thing was making you upset? What did it make you feel? Because also anger is a secondary emotion. So it's a protective emotion. So sadness, embarrassment, rejection, shame, annoyance, right? Like if you're feeling angry, which is valid, it's a valid emotion. There's also a chance there's something behind it that's causing it. So look at that. Look where Chapel took us. Thanks, Chapel. It's a feminine nomenon.
And I think too, asking yourself, like, what is the meaning? Like, what meaning am I attaching to this, right? Because a lot of times to to give an example, right? If your partner says something in a different way, or I think even we can bring it to Chapel and say, I think a lot of people have seen the pattern of her like canceling a couple shows.
Yep.
And they're like, I've literally seen this on TikTok. They're like, this means look at Gen Z's work ethic. Look at how lazy they are.
Right.
What is this going to mean about the future of pop stars? This means I'm never going to be able to go to a show because she's setting the precedent that this is okay to do and it's not. And like, look how far that is, right? That is a meaning that people are adding. And maybe it is out of fear that you like love pop music, you love going to shows, and let's be honest, it's probably partly because of Ticketmaster and how unaffordable shows are.
Yes. Yeah.
And like on top of like Taylor Swift, you know, Ticketmaster fiasco. But it's so helpful and difficult, but so helpful to figure out, what am I actually reacting to? What is the meaning that I am adding to this? Because it is not often about the thing. It is what we believe the thing means about us or the world or our future.
Maybe now when I feel like I need to be quiet, I'll just snap.
Well, Brene Brown in her podcast, she'll, when I think people say things that she like likes and needs a moment, she'll be like, say that again.
Oh my God. There's been times where my clients ask me to do that. And I'm like, I don't know. I was channeling the spirit. I literally, like, I was channeling the Holy Spirit right there. I can't help you. I'm so sorry. We're human too, friends. We're doing the best we can. So.
Totally.
There we go.
Well, hopefully this was helpful for someone and we didn't offend you.
No.
But it's okay if you're offended, right? Like, we're responsible for choosing to put this out.
Yes.
On the internet, and you can have a reaction.
Yeah.
And you also cannot like our view on this. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that, you know,
we're wrong or you're wrong or.
Right. Yeah. Or that you won't agree with us on other things. I think that it's important to swim in this nuance with us. And that's what we're trying to talk about and model. I also wonder, this is just a little thing I'm going to throw in at the end. I wonder too if some of these reactions are also because so many people are dying to be famous right now. And watching Chapel not want to be famous or quote unquote throw it away, as I've seen people say, like, I wonder if it's some jealousy going on there.
We could be here for another solid 60 minutes unpacking that one. So maybe one day.
If you want to hear us talk about that, let us know.
If you want us to talk about the fame of influencing and internet fame and all of that virality, if you will.
Yes.
We'll go there.
We will. Well, thank you all so much for listening and sticking with us through this podcast.
Please rate, review, subscribe. With us being so new, that is just, if you want to support us, that is like the easiest, most straightforward way that you can. Rate, review, subscribe.
We're not funded by anyone. No. It is like me and Sam doing this, doing this together.
We
appreciate ourselves. Yeah, we appreciate it so much. So thank you so much, everyone.
You're the best, guys.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.